have some movies you'd like us to review?
Tell us!
Send us an email at driveinmovieshr@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at drivemoviespod, or on Facebook at Hogan and Rudy.
Let us know what to watch next.
And now, on with the show.
Rev your engines, just like Rudy did. Get ready for another episode of Drive-In Movies. Continuing our action-packed August, we have two road action movies. Not really racing. Well, one's a race. The other one's just battle on cars, I guess. This week, we are doing Death Race 2000 versus Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. So let's get into these movies, starting with Death Race 2000. Even though it's called Death Race 2000, what year is it from?
1975.
It is directed by Paul Bartel, written by Robert Thom, or Tom, Charles B. Griffith, based on a story by Ib Melchior. That stars David Carradine as Frankenstein, Sylvester Stallone as Machine Gun Joe Viterbo, Simone Griffith as Annie Smith, Mary Woronov as Calamity Jane, Roberta Collins as Matilda the Hun, and Martin Cove as Nero the Hero. And then you have a couple other people in there. Those are really the big names in that one. And that is going up against Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. From what year?
It's in the 80s. I think it's 1984.
Ooh, it's early 80s. 1981. Ugh. That is directed by George Miller. Written by Terry Hayes, George Miller, Brian Hannant, and Byron Kennedy is listed as a character creator. That stars Mel Gibson as Max, Bruce Spence as the Gyro Captain, Michael Preston as Papagayo, and then you have Max Phipps as the Toady, Vernon Wells as Wes, Jell Nilson as the Humongous, and Emil Minty as the Feral Kid. There you have it for those two movies. I will turn it over to you now to tell everyone what they're about.
All right, we'll start with Death Race 2000. So America is a totalitarian regime on the brink of collapse. The most popular sport in this dystopia is the transcontinental road race, where teams earn points by logging the fastest time and mowing down innocent pedestrians. Yes, you heard that right. That is their biggest sports event. This year's competitors include Frankenstein and his competitor, Machine Gun Joe, who is Sylvester Stallone. But some have a plan to stop the race from happening. And then you have The Road Warrior, which is Mad Max 2. After avenging the death of his wife and young son at the hands of a vicious gang leader, Max, who is played by Mel Gibson, drives the post-apocalyptic highways of the Australian outback, fending off attacks from nomadic tribes that prey on outsiders, falling into an encampment led by a peaceful Mike Preston. Max first schemes to steal the oil of the encampment, but soon becomes the group's reluctant defender against the hulking, humongous king of the raiders, or whatever he's called. So it's up to Max to save the day.
Nice. We'll see which one I enjoyed more. But I had a fun time watching these. I thought they were different enough to keep my interest in both of these films, is what I'll say. But I want to know what you think, so let's go into the writing. What'd you think of The Road Warrior and Death Race 2000?
Yeah, so I'll start with The Road Warrior, which is a pretty fun story. It's post-apocalyptic, Australian outback, and it's these groups fighting for oil, and they have all these like souped up cars with cages, and their whole goal is just to get as much oil as they can. They set up a really interesting world that you want to know more about, and you almost feel they don't really explain a lot about it, but you almost feel like you know. They give enough.
Yeah.
But I like it. I think it's a good story.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's almost like John Wick in a way, where they have an established world and you're just kind of peeking into a section of it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to explain exactly what's that. I mean, they have a narrator in the beginning who kind of gives a rundown of why things are the way that they are, but it's like, what, maybe 2 minutes?
Yeah.
And then they get right into the story. I noticed with The Road Warrior, there's kind of elements of like the Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven plot line where you have this village that's kind of being harassed by an outside group that, you know, wants to take advantage of their resources or whatnot. But where it kind of differs is with their hero in Max. He's just kind of there for himself. He wants to get the gas so that he has a chance of, you know, surviving in this wasteland and whatnot. He never really, I guess, submits himself to the cause of the village.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting take on it, and having him as kind of a very stoic kind of character, not really showing too much emotion or too much investment in other people's lives and whatnot. But the movie, I think, does a good job of setting up its world, and the story that it has within it makes sense in the world that it builds. It's not that intense of a story, it's not that complex, and it's not very deep. It's just, these people have gas, and these people want it.
Yeah.
Pretty much is the whole movie. But somehow they are able to take that concept, put it into an hour and a half movie, and I think in the world that it creates, it really makes that simple concept enjoyable and entertaining to watch, which is impressive.
For sure.
What'd you think about Death Race 2000?
I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know anything about this movie going in. I've seen Death Race, the new movies, which I'm assuming they're based similar off of, I guess the idea of it, the stories are way different, but I guess the idea is, this movie's weird. Oh my gosh.
It's like the ultimate B movie.
Oh, it is. I was at a loss for words, as I am now. I don't even know how to explain. They just throw you in to this whole situation where the U.S. is under a dictatorship. People are waving Nazi flags. The U.S. flag is all red and orange, or yet red and something else with a fist rather than the stars. But everything, I've never experienced a movie so fast. Everything moves so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't keep track of anything.
I think that movie's interesting in the sense where, like, watching it, I almost felt like I stumbled upon like a midnight movie. Like I wasn't actually supposed to watch this movie. Like,
yeah,
I found it on some like forbidden channel or something like that. Cause it's very out there. And even the concept that you explained earlier, where it's the best sporting event in America, the one that everyone tunes into. And it's pretty much a race at its core.
Mm-hmm.
But within the race, they are trying to take out as many people as they can. And some people go along with it. Like, they deliberately put themselves in a situation where they can be taken out by the racers because they enjoy the sport that much. You have a scene where, like, a hospital puts all their old people out on the road for the racers to hit. And you're like, oh my gosh, what am I watching? Like, this is insane. But you know what? The writing is kind of unique, I have to say. Like, I have never seen any movie quite like Death Race 2000.
No, not at all.
I've seen a lot of movies, and a lot of them blend together, and a lot of them use the same formulas. Even kind of like The Road Warrior, you have elements of other stories put in there. It's done nicely in The Road Warrior, but you can see, like, oh, they had inspiration from this, inspiration from that. I have no idea what Death Race 2000 is inspired by, because itself. It is out there. And in that aspect, I don't know. The writing's not perfect. I mean, it's not like a deep, complex movie. They have more substance in, like, in the depths of its story with the government, and you have a resistance, and then you have Frankenstein as a character, that you're kind of getting bits and information as to who he is and whatnot,
yeah,
and how he relates to both the sporting event and the resistance and the president or dictator. So there's a lot more story within the actual race itself. So you have this interesting concept, and then they kind of sprinkle in additional details. Do those additional details always, like, make sense or match up? Not quite. They're a little over the top and kind of baked in there where you're like, okay, they're just trying to throw anything to make this story interesting. But some of it works. Some of it kept my interest. The story at its concept, again, is such a wild idea. But at the same time, it's so different that I didn't know where that story was going to go, honestly.
No, you have no idea. It's like one twist after another.
Mm-hmm. But even the story itself is just so unexpected. And I mean, I guess you can expect it from reading what the movie's about and whatnot. But even seeing the movie play out, you hear its plot and you're like, oh, that sounds weird or that sounds interesting. And then you start watching the movie and you're like, oh, wow, they are, yeah, this is actually what that movie's about. They, they're sticking to their word. They're not tiptoeing around this. So I think if I had to give a movie a point, specifically in writing, I think I might actually give it to Death Race 2000 just because it's such a unique idea and they execute it fairly well. It kept my interests. It kept me guessing what was going to happen next. The story wasn't amazing. It wasn't anything to win an award over or anything like that. But for a movie and to make an entertaining film with a wild concept that probably you could only do in a movie, hopefully you could only do in a movie. I don't know. I feel like that's, with both these movies, I mean, that's kind of why I watch movies, is to see these different worlds and these different ideas and these different concepts play out on screen. And I think they both do a great job of transporting you to another time and another world and whatnot. And you feel like you're actually a part of what's going on in that world. I think Death Race 2000 is just a little bit more unique of a world. Not necessarily a better world, but more outside the box. So,
yeah, I think I agree with you. I think Death Race gets my point. It's very, very creative movie.
Yeah. It might not be for everyone. And
yeah,
you might not enjoy the concept. I mean, some people are probably turned off at the idea of that movie right away, which is totally understandable. I mean, it's super weird.
They have a point system for, like, babies are, pretty high up on the point system. And
yeah, that whole scene where they're going through, like, what each person is rated at. And
yeah.
You're almost, like, cringing watching the movie because you're like, oh, God, this is terrible.
Yep.
But at the same time, you're like, I don't think another movie in today's time would be made quite like Death Race 2000.
No, not at all.
So kind of finding it, again, it's almost like watching that midnight movie where you're kind of looking around like, am I supposed to be watching this? Is this all right? Is this real? Is this a real movie?
Yeah, am I real?
am I real? Wild.
Wild. I didn't expect that curveball.
No, I didn't either. But let's keep going along here. What about characters?
I think this is the first week where I didn't really care for characters in either movie. I liked the stories more.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are just meh.
Yeah.
The Road Warrior, I don't know. Mel Gibson, he's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the main character, but not really, like you said earlier, not really a personality.
Right.
So he's out for himself to get the gas from these people and keeps making contracts with them in order to just get his car and leave and get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But then he ends up getting looped in to protect them and everything like that.
But even that aspect of him getting looped in to protect them, the story plays out in a way where a lot of those kind of story beats set it up where the hero, like, feels bad and then he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, he gets this sudden urge to help these people. And the story plays out in a way where He kind of just has to go along with what's happening. Like, he doesn't really have a choice. He doesn't have a moment where he's like, you know what? No, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna protect you guys.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I could see how that definitely, like, knocks his character down, because you don't have that development within him. You don't have any glimpse of, you know, what he's thinking or how he's feeling. He's just kind of going along with what's happening around him.
Yeah. And then along the way, Mel Gibson meets the gyro captain,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of a weirdo. I don't know. He's a little creepy.
Yeah.
He's very helpful to the people, too. Mm-hmm. To Max. He just wants to be Max's friend. Max wants nothing to do with him. He wants to help the town. I guess you would say it's not really a town. It's a circle in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. A little outpost.
Yeah. That's all it is. He's a little weird. All the raiders. Why are they wearing bootyless chaps?
It's hot in the wasteland. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. They're just showing their cheeks out.
I think it was only the one guy.
I think it's all of them.
The other guy was wearing a Speedo. And a hockey mask.
That was the main guy. The main raider.
Humongous.
Yeah, king of the outback. Or king
Lord
of the...
Lord Humongous.
Yeah. I don't know if he... As he speaks, you never really see his face.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one crazy raider that they release. And he reminds me of... In the Bug's Life, you know, you have Hopper, and then Hopper has that crazy other grasshopper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's basically this guy. He's like nuts, and he just, goes and attacks everyone, and he's...
Perfect analogy, yeah.
And his butt cheeks are out the whole time, so get ready for that. Here.
Get ready. Oh, I guess I should talk about it. What, Mad Max? Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. There's not really a lot of interesting characters in Mad Max. I think the most personable characters is probably the gyro captain and then the feral kid, in a sense. I mean, he's just kind of like a caveman kid. He just grunts. He doesn't really have any... he doesn't really have any emotional moments. He kind of becomes attached to Max in certain segments of it, but you never really feel too close to that connection. Probably the greatest character in The Road Warrior is a character named Dog.
Oh, Dog, that's
what
right.
What a good boy.
I'm not going to spoil it. I won't spoil it. Just be prepared.
I think that's the most emotional you would probably get in that movie is
for sure.
That character.
Mm-hmm.
I like Max as a character. I think he's interesting to watch, and I don't mind him as a lead character, but I agree with everything you said. I mean, there's not really anything that necessarily attaches you to him. I think he works for the movie and the world that they provide and the story that they're telling. I think his character makes sense than like a stereotypical kind of hero character that they make.
Sure.
But, I mean, there's better characters out there in movies, for sure.
Death Race 2000, you have Frankenstein, who is the main racer,
mm-hmm.
and he has this kind of mysterious background that you learn about.
Even now, after watching the movie, I still don't think I quite understand his whole storyline.
Neither do I. They tried to get it out there, but I don't know if it worked too well. Sylvester Stallone's character was kind of annoying. He just yelled the whole time.
Very rude to the people around him.
Oh, yeah. And he was dressed like a 1930s gangster with his hat.
Yeah.
He was a big old jerk, though.
I kind of liked what they did with his character. Not his character himself,
mm-hmm.
but I liked how they presented him as, like, the runner-up to Frankenstein, and everyone liked Frankenstein, and he was kind of always in his shadow, and he always got mad by that. There's one scene where they pull up and it's like a dead end and there's a guy fishing and the guy's like, oh, you're going to have to go back the way you came. You're way off course. And then he's like, but you know what? I'm such a big fan of yours. I watch all your races. You're such a good racer. I'm the biggest fan. And like Sylvester Stallone's like starting to feel like a little appreciated. And then the guy's like, you're definitely my favorite, Mr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. And
Sylvester Stallone's like, you got 10 seconds before I run you over and whatnot. Yeah. So, like, I kind of enjoyed that piece of his character, how they kept poking fun that, you know, he was never quite as notable as Frankenstein.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. And then each driver has a navigator, and then the navigator's kind of specifically with Frankenstein. His navigator fits into the story very well and kind of mm-hmm. moves it along. My two favorite characters, though, this might be a surprise, was the TV show host, which...
Yeah, I know. he was so enjoyable to watch.
It reminded me of, like, the Hunger Games. You know, they have mm-hmm. that host, the TV host.
Yep.
Very, like, excitable and
mm-hmm.
very excited to talk about all this. But it was him and then another lady. They were hilarious. Every time they came on, I laughed.
And, like, they gave it 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they went all in on these characters. They cut to them quite often, and I feel like every time they cut to them, it was relevant and made it more enjoyable to watch the movie. You know, you have a lot of movies where you have those kind of characters, and every time they, like, cut to them, you're like, oh, my God, here we go. Like, but, man, it was so enjoyable, and everything that they covered, it just made it. They made the race exciting
for kind sure. of
watching the movie as well.
I was like, yeah, hit that. Hit that person. Get him.
I don't know if I would ever say that.
I'm kidding. Kidding.
Oh, gosh. We don't condone violence of any sort on this yes. podcast. Disclaimer.
Hogan and Rudy don't condone any violence.
Yeah. Oh, you should do like the...
Oh, the quick thing?
The medical side effects. You got yeah. that down.
But for characters, gosh, I think I'm going to give it to Death Race.
They definitely have a wider array of wild characters. The movie kind of reminds me of like an adult version of Wacky Racers. Did you ever watch that cartoon? Like,
yeah, the old? For sure it does.
It's like, it's like if Wacky Racers was super dark.
Yeah.
Like... That is what Death Race 2000 is.
Oh, yes.
Because their characters are, like, kind of the same, only, like, kind of inappropriate versions yep. of those characters. I think I'd agree with you. I think, while I love the world of Mad Max and the storylines within it, I think Death Race 2000, in terms of characters, just provides a little bit more variability, while also being enjoyable. Not every character is enjoyable. There's definitely one racer... that the movie could probably do without. I don't think it's aged very well in today's time. But everyone else is enjoyable. Let's talk about music. What did you think about the music?
I'm trying to remember any of the music. I think I was so focused on, especially Death Race. I was mm-hmm. so focused on like what was happening because I was so confused just because everything was moving so fast. I know I had subtitles on, of course. Who doesn't watch movies with subtitles?
Yeah.
It said a lot of there was funky music at one point. I remember it saying that. I was like, oh, funky music, okay, 70s, okay.
But you forgot to listen to it.
Yeah.
You remembered reading about it.
Yep. But you forgot. I'll look for the cues. Oh, there's my cue, man. Funky music.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna be no help in this category.
Well, that's okay, because actually, while I was thinking about it, I can't really remember the music in Death Race 2000 either.
No.
It was probably some 70s music. I don't know. Nothing that stood out in that movie.
No.
I will say, The Road Warrior, I did notice the music in that movie, and it reminds me of, like, a 80s/90s, like, fantasy cartoon. Like, okay. It reminded me of, like, a He-Man, G.I. Joe, Thundercats kind of soundtrack. And it works. It works with the movie.
Yeah.
It's not great. And I don't think it quite matches the atmosphere of the film. But then again, I'm not a music connoisseur, and I don't have an appropriate replacement to suggest for that movie in its place. So I think it does fine. I think it does fine in the movie.
Yeah,
I'll give it a point just because I remember it. But.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. It's like, oh, Road Warrior, that gets my point.
Yeah.
Because of Sorry, funky jazz music from Death Race 2000. Yeah,
if only you could remember what it sounded like.
Oh, gosh. I'll go look up the soundtrack.
What did you think about the tech?
So Death Race, all the race scenes were sped up. It was weird. I didn't like it. I know that's what they were going for. It just felt weird. Felt rushed.
Super cheesy, too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the scenes that play out, especially when they're mowing down to get points.
Yeah.
Those segments played out very cheesily.
Yeah, I was not a fan of... I think it would have been more enjoyable if they didn't speed up the film on all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. That's okay.
Again, it's kind of like Wacky Races. It reminded you of Wacky Racers.
It was. They just weren't mowing people down in Wacky Racers. The Road Warrior, I like the setting a lot. I feel like there's not a lot of movies that take place in like this Australian outback, mm-hmm. wide open, and there's just like oil reserves.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a different
nothing around
setting that I enjoy. The cars are really cool. My question was, if they want all this gas, why are they doing wheelies and stuff? And like donuts. You're wasting your gas.
Well, that was the crazy guy.
It was the crazy guy, you're right. The one with the butt cheeks hanging out.
Yeah. He probably got too much sun on his butt. Ooh, went to his imagine? Brain. Went to his brain. Can you imagine riding like a motorcycle with your butt hanging out?
No,
I
can't.
I feel like that's gotta hurt after a while.
Probably in the hot sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like leather or something. I don't know. Yikes. I think that this is the category that Mad Max just completely decimates.
Oh,
Death
for
Race
sure.
2000. Like, oh my gosh, the world that they create in just nothing, like the nothingness of the outback. You have just a desert setting, just riddled with broken down cars, mm-hmm. and like places that used to be outposts that are just destroyed and whatnot. And then you have the cars themselves that are just kind of like scraps of metal heaped together. And it makes you think of like a post-apocalyptic kind of dystopian future. Like, this might actually be kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, probably.
Like, everyone fighting for gas and just kind of getting your hands on whatever scrap that you can. And, I mean, there's a segment in it where Mel Gibson is eating like a can of dog food. And that's his meal. So I think they do a good job of really setting the kind of post-apocalyptic futuristic type of world more so than Death Race 2000. Death Race 2000 does a lot of like talking about it, but they don't really, besides the race itself, you're like, how is this world different necessarily? Like, the only thing I can see is that they're mentioning that this president is kind of like a dictator.
Yeah.
And then you have the race itself, but beyond that, nothing really looks different. They don't really point to anything being changed in society and whatnot. And Mad Max, you have the complete opposite. You have kind of a whole different world. I think George Miller is probably the greatest director to shoot road scenes. More so than Fast and Furious. More so than Death Race. I mean, Death Race 2000. But man, just the filming of the road scenes itself, they look so good. And the shots that they take and the action sequences that they go into where you have cars crashing and whatnot. A lot of that is practical effects. I mean, I think I read that they made like 80 cars for the movie.
Jeez.
And like crashed half of them or more than half of them. And you see it play off in the film and the segments that they shoot and some of the shots they have from both outside showing the cars moving as well as some of the shots from inside the different cars, and you have different vantage points of like one straight road, like all these cars are going down one road.
Yeah,
it should be super boring, and yet it's like the most entertaining, exciting thing that you could watch. And you're like, how did they do this? How did they make this car chase scene down a straight narrow road with nothing around?
Yeah,
so exciting. And I think
like
it's
15 minutes long, that chase. And yep. The whole time you're like, I can't stop watching this.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is the camera work, the editing, the practical effects of it. And, I mean, it's like the same in all the Mad Max movies. The first one's a little boring, which is why we kind of skipped over to the second one. I don't think you need to necessarily watch the first to know what's going on in the second one. But I think as those movies go on as well, it just kind of reiterates how well George Miller can shoot road action scenes. Not even just action scenes, just any road scenes at all are super entertaining through his lens. So I give my point to The Road Warrior.
Heck yeah. That gets my point as well.
Moving on to the final category, which of these two movies did you enjoy more?
Ooh, I was a little shocked by Death Race 2000. It is actually pretty fun to watch. It's a little goofy.
Super weird.
Super weird. Way out there. If you don't mind seeing people getting mowed down by goofy-looking cars, then yeah. It's worth watching at least once, for sure. But I think The Road Warrior is the one I enjoyed more, and I would certainly watch again, just because I enjoyed that whole world. I know there's a lot more Mad Maxes out there that I have not seen yet, so I'm excited to watch those.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Death Race 2000 might be one of those surprise films. Again, kind of like you found it on a channel and you're not sure what it is and you're not sure if you're supposed to be watching it, but you end up watching the whole thing and you look at your watch and it's like 3 a.m. and you're like, oh, wow, guess it's time for bed now. And then you just completely forget about it as you go on with life. I think it's enjoyable watch. It's a movie that if you come across it and you're interested, give it a watch. I don't think I would ever recommend it to anyone necessarily, just because it is weird and out there and the concept of it is a little controversial. And I think it was entertaining to watch for myself because it was so unique and a different idea. And they executed that fairly well. But I don't think the enjoyment of it is necessarily there. I think, like, if I watched this movie again, I probably wouldn't like it as much. I think a lot of the enjoyment from it is just because it was different, and I didn't know a lot about it, and it kind of caught me off guard with how different it was. But having seen it now, and knowing what it is, and knowing what it does, I think there's elements of it that I could go back to and enjoy, but I think rewatching it, I don't know if I would like it as much, just because that initial kind of shock value is past already. But The Road Warrior, I think just the world itself that it creates, the cinematography, the action in it, the story itself, while it didn't get the point, is still simplistic yet enjoyable because you're seeing it take place in this world that they've created. And the story, while it's simple, fits perfectly into the surrounding environment. So I think that kind of harmony really makes that movie enjoyable upon multiple rewatches because you have other things that are making that movie enjoyable. You're not relying on, you know, a shocking twist, or you're not relying on a movie that's just kind of being over the top for the sake of, you know, shock value or being different and everything like that. This movie is, you see elements of it in other films, and yet it's able to take those concepts and blend it nicely in its own construction that I think that warrants higher entertainment value and something that you'll come back to over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to Death Race.
For sure. I agree.
So there you have it. The Road Warrior wins the race.
Ooh, that was nice.
It was neck and neck at the end there. But The Road Warrior comes out on top.
But tune in next week for everyone's favorite, Terminator 2 and Aliens, our last week of action-packed August.
James Cameron versus James Cameron.
Which James Cameron will win?
Find out next week. Thank you.
please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.